Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by today. I hope you're having a pleasant day wherever you are. We are enjoying summer. July is one of my favorite months. I just hope it doesn't go by too quickly. Already we're more than half into 2015. It's just going way too quick, if you ask me. Our guest today is Tim Murdoch from WhiteRabbitRadio.net. He does his own radio show, and he's also behind some very well-produced and funny animations that show hypocrisy and double standards, and really crystallizes what is going on by flipping the roles of the players involved, or by taking well-known concepts and putting them in a different setting. Johnny Racist, Anti-Racist Hitler, and How Whites Took Over America are a few of them, and do take a look if you haven't seen them yet. Hilarious, and it becomes clear as to what really is happening when you see some of these short films. We are going to talk about one of the most obvious and insidious plans today, yet one of the most denied, and one that a majority of people still are pretending isn't happening, or that the effects of this isn't really happening. And when you do bring attention to it, well, then it turns out that you are the problem, and the problem itself isn't really a problem. We'll bring attention to why diversity is a lie, and who is pushing it. Welcome back, Tim. Thank you so much for coming back again. It's good to speak with you again. I hope you're doing well today. It's there certainly isn't a lack of issues to talk about and to go through, isn't there?
Well, it's great to be back on Red Ice Creations, and I've never seen so much stuff going on at once, all at the same time. It's really insane in the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I had a kind of an issue that I wanted to go into, and some of the things I wanted to talk about, and then when we spoke earlier, and then in that time, so many things have just happened, from what's happening in the U.S. right now with the Charleston church shooting, and of course how the elite are pushing one thing in America, and then you have everything that's happening over in the European Union as well. It's just so much. But let's begin to talk about the concept of diversity before we get to some of these other topics, and you can tell us a little bit about some of the things that you wanted to get into right here in the beginning, Tim.
Well, diversity is a fascinating term because most people are just now becoming aware of how ominous it is and how nefarious it is. It's a word for white people that operates not only in the present tense, but the past tense. For instance, if we were to say, this corporation needs more diversity, all the listeners immediately know that there's too many white people there. And if I were to say, on the past tense, this school system, this grade school in Malmö, Sweden, is very diverse, everyone listening knows there's very few white kids left there. So diversity coming in always means too many white people, you know, and diversity going out means there's very few of you are going to be around. And so that's why we're hearing terms like diversity is a code word for white genocide. Diversity means chasing down the last white person. And it comes down to this concept of white genocide. I mean, diversity is an ominous, ominous phrase.
It sure is. Exactly. I mean, that's everyone kind of... Well, no one says it out open, though. Well, some do. But I mean, if we talk about... people in the official world, they never discuss this quite openly in that way, but everyone knows what it means. They're kind of, I guess they're running from the term itself, and just refuse to discuss what it really means, right?
Well, sure. Everyone says, you know, this is why we're trying to move the discussion through a set of more, a little more aggressive memes than usual. They'll dance around diversity and multiculturalism all day long, but the fact of the matter is, it's only whites that are supposed to accept this diversity. I mean, if I were to walk around Tokyo and say, you know what, there's too many Japanese here. We need more diversity. I have a feeling they're going to get a little offended by that. If I were to do that decade after decade, to the extent that Japan's becoming non-Japanese and non-Asian, I have a feeling there's going to be a big reaction eventually. Someone's going to figure out that diversity is ominous. You know, that this is some type of in this case, we're dealing with some type of an anti-white genocidal scam. There can be no doubt about it. You know, when it comes down to, there's a lot of questions right now about the legal definition of genocide. And the definitions themselves go back to, of course, the Article 2 in 1948 and Article 3. And genocide itself has always been interpreted very wide for a particular reason. You know, the response that someone like me always gets is, well, there's nothing violent going on, or genocide has to be violent. Well, genocide has nothing to do with, at all with violence necessarily. You know, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, as such killing members of the group A, B, causing serious or bodily mentally harm or mental harm to the members of the group. C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. D, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. E, forcibly transferring children to another group. And then, of course, Article 3 goes into genocide, conspiracy to commit genocide, direct public incitement to commit genocide, attempt to commit genocide, complicity in genocide. It's very broad, and it's broad for a particular reason. If we were to, Henrik, you know, sterilize a group of people using modern social engineering techniques, put something in their food or inject them, it wouldn't be violent. It would be harmless physically at first. But it wouldn't be no less genocide. So very wide berth on this. And this is the open interpretation. The standard interpretation is Raphael Lemkin, and this was reinterpreted by a very famous English-speaking world elite in the 80s. And Raphael Lemkin said, genocide does not necessarily mean the immediate destruction of a nation. It is intended to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aiming at the destruction of essential foundations of life of national groups with the aim of annihilating the groups themselves. The objectives of such a plan would be the disintegration of the political and social institutions, of culture, language, national feelings, religion, and the economic existence of national groups, and the destruction of personal security, liberty, health, dignity, and even the lives of the individuals belonging to such groups. It's extremely broad and certainly applicable. One of the more interesting, because it's a tragic kind of funny, is Prime Minister of Australia, Fraser, who was Prime Minister of Australia from 1975 to 1983. And he said genocide involves the attempt to achieve the disappearance of a group by whatever means. It does not have to be violent. It could be a combination of policies that would lead to a certain group dying out. So, again, he's reiterating Lemkin. He's reiterating these broad standards, which is very common for the Western elite to say one thing and do another. But what's interesting about Australia is the foreign minister in 1983, shortly thereafter, his name is Bill Hayden, he told Asia Week this. This is an exact quote. These are heads of state. This is what they're saying. This is what they're doing. Okay? He said, there's already a large and growing Asian population in Australia. Now, if you look at the Asian population in Australia in 1983, it's not all that large.
Right.
It's only large in a couple different areas. It's by and large this giant white country. There's already a large and growing Asian population in Australia, and it is inevitable, in my view, that Australia would become a Eurasian country over the next century or two. Yeah. Australian Asians and Europeans will marry one another, and a new race will emerge. I happen to think this is desirable. We should welcome the process of gradually becoming a Eurasian type of society. Hayden continued, we will not just become a multicultural society, which seems to me some sort of soft terminology anyways. We will become a Eurasian society, and we will be better for it. Now, that's a fascinating statement, because first off, he's not asking the Asians' approval, is he?
Right. Yep.
So much for caring about the people of color. Second, it goes against the previous, it goes against the prime minister, you know, right nearly the same time. Genocide involves an attempt to achieve a disappearance of a group. Well, he's attempting to create a whole new group without their permission, without a vote. And he goes on to say, in 1984, ex-Prime Minister Bob Hawke says this. We will not allow, this is Australia again, 1 year later, we will not allow to become a political issue in this country the question of Asianization. In other words, you Asians and you whites, you're not going to vote on this. We don't care. You know, we're here to create this new world. We're going to wipe out our founding population. Notice how he's not even talking about Aborigines.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
They're just using that to guilt trip them.
Yeah.
And this all-white Australia policy, no. This is the world we're building. And so if you're listening to Red Ice right now, and if you're non-white and you're in Western civilization, wherever your station is really dependent on what you're going to be mixed with based on our wonderful genocidal elites.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's not any debate over this. Now, this isn't just one quote, Henrik. There's a series of this separated. What I'm going to do is give a couple more quotes separated by at least a decade. So there can be no argument. This is also not in an isolated event. These are quotes from heads of state. There's also another phenomenon that many have witnessed, open borders without voting. If you vote like in California in the mid-90s, they throw the vote out the window. It doesn't matter if you're black or Asian and voting. You get your vote thrown out the window right with the whites. They're creating this world. They don't care what you say or think.
Yeah.
And their standard of genocide is one thing. What they say and what they do is a whole other thing. And what we're doing, of course, is pointing out this ridiculous standard that goes right to the heart of the matter, this ridiculous double standard. And, of course, the next quote is far more interesting because this comes at a time, and it may have bearing on what's going on with ISIS even to this day, these radical al-Qaedas and whatnot. You had an episode in, of course, in Europe, Serbia, and Serbia, of course, got into it with Muslims. And Wesley Clark, U.S. General, ex-NATO Supreme Commander, talking about the NATO bombing of Serbia in 1999, and he said, let's not forget what the origin of the problem is. There is no place in modern Europe for ethnically pure states. That's a 19th century idea, and we are trying to transition into the 21st century, and we're going to do it with multi-ethnic states. Now, he's not saying this to China. He's not saying this to Japan. Never has. He's not saying this to Arabs, because Saudi Arabia is a xenophobic Arab state. There can be no doubt about that. He's not saying this to the Guatemalans or the Mexicans. He's saying it to basically... He's declaring war on white children in Europe.
Yep.
And he's doing this as he proceeds to bomb Serbia in submission as they try to fight in a conflict basically with Muslims. That's what's really going on here. And I'm oversimplifying the conflict. I realize that. But in context of hindsight, vision is not only 2020, it also lends itself to the truth. He's saying the statement in context of the previous statement over in Australia in the 80s. And he's saying the statement where open borders and North Africa's flooding in and all this is going on with Islam in Europe now.
And as we know, Clark was speaking quite openly about this, too. He mentioned that ISIS got started through funding from our friends and allies to fight to the death against Hezbollah, right? He said it on CNN even, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not. It's difficult for them to hide anymore.
Yeah.
They're coming out and saying it. I mean, when you say there's no room for ethnically pure states in Europe, now there are many that say, wow, he didn't really mean this, he didn't mean that. But in context of open borders, in context of elderly Swedes being moved out of their home to bring in immigrants, in context of what we see in America, with context of what we see across the board in the UK, can there be any idea what NATO's design is? NATO is there to make sure Europeans have this force down their throat. What they're there for. That's what he said, and that's what they're doing. And so in context of the previous statement of Bill Hayden, we have a little bit more aggressive. Not only are they making the statements of there's no room for ethnically pure states, this is what I call the anti-white proposition, and this is white genocide defined. There can be no all-white countries anywhere, and there can be no all-white areas in the formerly all-white countries. And you can break it down. There can be no all-white neighborhoods in the formerly all-white countries of the formerly all-white – the formerly all-white areas of the formerly all-white countries. There can be no all-white pool parties of the formerly all-white areas of the formerly all-white countries. There can be no all-white police forces of the formerly all-white areas of the formerly all – you can just break it down. But this is what they're going for, and it's becoming overt.
Yeah, it is.
It's impossible to ignore. But what's interesting about this is this quote comes with a certain amount of violence. He bombs Serbia into submission.
That's right. Yeah.
He's bombing them. This is the plan. This is NATO. This is where we're going. There's no room for ethnically pure states. You're not allowed to defend yourself. We're going to bomb you and let the Muslims, whatever the deal was. And, of course, Russians are still upset over that, so on and so forth. And then, of course, we get into the most aggressive quote, the more aggressive quotes from the EU. And the more aggressive quote, of course, is Nicolas Sarkozy. And this is the most aggressive quote we could find from any head of state. Now, this is, of course, in 2008. And it was former French President Nicolas Sarkozy. And this is extremely aggressive. It's so aggressive that I have people that come to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. They don't live in Western civilization. And they want to know what the hell is he talking about? Because if you go to WhiteRabbitRadio.net, you can see him say it. And we're not making these up. These are heads of state. This is what they're saying. And we not only have the statements, we have the phenomenon of they're acting this stuff out. The challenge of racial interbreeding that France has always known. And in meeting the challenge of racial interbreeding, France is faithful to its history. Now, that's kind of an odd statement because France is pretty white.
It is. Yeah.
Race mixing enriches society. Continuity destroys it. He's talking about keeping things homogenous. The goal is to meet the challenge of racial interbreeding, the challenge of racial interbreeding that faces us in the 21st century. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. It's an imperative. We cannot do otherwise. We risk finding ourselves confronted with major problems. Well, I would say that they're finding themselves confronted with major problems trying to enforce this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But listen to this. We must change, therefore we will change. We are going to change all at the same time in business, in administration, in education. That's quite a change. In the political parties. And we will obligate ourselves to as to results. If this volunteerism, this is what gets people, does not work for the republic, then the state will move to more coercive measures.
Yeah.
More coercive. As if you're already being coerced. We're going more coercive. Now, this is aimed at children because the Henriks and the Tims of the world, our counterparts in France, have already made whatever choices they've made in their relationships, most likely. So this
right.
is for young people.
Yeah.
This is insidious stuff. A lot of people are concerned about these. If this volunteerism doesn't work for the Republican, then the state will move to more coercive measures. What are they talking about doing?
Yeah.
How can you be more coercive? If only, you know, only a small percentage, whatever, 15 at best, 20% are interested in living in a New York, living in a Dubai, living in a Singapore. They want to live in a multiracial, multicultural country, but they also want something workable. They don't want to be blamed for everything. But let's say that's only a small percent, and it doesn't matter where you go. It seems to be about the same. You know, 80% of the Hindus in India are quite happy with what they are and everything else. 20% might be interested in living in a London or living in something a little bit more multicultural. But this becomes a dice roll for these guys. What are they talking about doing? Other than obviously white genocide, they're talking about getting rid of their founding populations, getting rid of white children, period.
Yeah.
And some type of this utopian mixed race nightmare they've created. It's not a utopian, it's a nightmare. In trying to enforce this, are they talking about chipping people? That's my inside link here. That you know, these guys, this political Zionism is the group that's up to bat right now, and Sarkozy is very much belongs to that group, and they're enamored with behavioral modification using technology, which would be permanent behavior modification. How they're going to go about doing it? How can you force people into this type of thing? But this, again, is a head of state. This isn't some wonk at the local university.
Right, no, right.
This isn't someone, he's not talking about some fantasy. They're putting this in place and opening the borders, not allowing the borders to be closed. They're saying to hell with the voting, to hell with the voting public, to hell with what people want.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to force it down your throat.
Because in the definition, of course, of genocide, there is that question of whether there is deliberate intent. And I think the prior was defined if there was a coordinated attack. And, of course, these quotes, they bring that out and prove empirically that is the case.
Well, what are the odds of having elites separated by a decade, separated by cultures and languages within the confines of Western civilization, from Australia to America, head of NATO to actual France? What are the odds of them separated by a decade, each getting more aggressive in their language? You know, at first it's like, well, we're not going to allow this to become political in Australia. He's not talking about bombing anyone. He's not talking about for coercive measures. If it's not voluntary, again, as you go out in time, as you come closer to where we are here today, they become far more aggressive, whether it be Wesley Clark, who's a general who bombs Serbia into submission. Then, of course, you're making these radical statements about there's no room for ethnically pure states in Europe. Then you come forward to Nicolas Sarkozy, who's talking about if this volunteerism doesn't work for this multiracial cult. Country. Now, they're not building this in China or Japan. There's still going to be Japanese and Chinese 50 years from now. He's talking about destroying French children, this ancient people and culture that's been there for thousands of years, permanently obliterating them off the planet through forced assimilation and forced integration, which always gets labeled genocide. Always.
Yeah.
Because you're forcing it. This is what Tibet's all about. You bring in, you know, the Chinese flood Tibet and with Chinese. The Tibetan nomads, they start trying to force assimilate and force integrate them, then all of a sudden it brings a huge charge of genocide. This is how the Western elite typically views things, except when it comes to their own children.
Yep.
The ones they're supposed to be in custody of, the ones they're supposed to be taken care of. And that's who they become victims here. Because every once in a while I get an email saying, you're not a victim. They're right. I'm not a victim. I can put up a website and be on red ice and have memes all over the planet in a short period of time. And Henrik, you're not a victim in so much as that you can speak. You can get the message out. Children are helpless. Children are the real victims here. They're defenseless against this type of thing.
Yeah.
And they're having to sit and take it and be humiliated and all this. And not to mention the fact that it's perverted. You're talking about forced breeding people. That's perverted.
Yeah, yeah. We're not. It's not. That's not the way we've done it in the Western world. But now, all of a sudden, you know, they come along and propose how we should do business and with whom and all that. You know, yeah.
Sure. Sure. I mean, and this goes hand in hand with what's even going on right now under the Obama administration as they get far, far more aggressive. You know, the housing and urban development stuff, diversify wealthy neighborhoods.
That's right. And they, what was the proposal that literally just to take tax money, to relocate people? There was even houses that were foreclosed and stuff like that is bought up by the government and people are placed in these neighborhoods. Because there can be.
Well, they're
going
to look to whether a neighborhood is diverse enough, and this won't apply to the Upper East Side. This won't apply to any. This is going to apply to any place white. I mean, I'm just going to lay it out there because that's exactly what they're talking about doing, and this is causing more controversy. They're going to have to be more explicit, and as they get more Sarkozy explicit, coming into right where we're at right here, it's going to bring more and more awareness.
Yeah,
to this
term,
diversity, multiculturalism. And these are all code words, folks. The code word for white genocide. That's it. That's their ideal. A blended humanity in only white countries. And you don't have a say in it. You're not allowed to say anything. And we're going to force it. It's not political going back into the 80s. We're not going to allow it to be politicized. This is the way it's going to be, folks. And there's no room for ethnically pure states. If this volunteerism doesn't work, then we're going to still move to more coercive measures. I mean, you can't make it any more clear. They're telling you what they're going to do. They're doing it. You know, we wouldn't even be having this show or paying attention to any of these quotes if there weren't all the other factors involved. It's overt. It's not, they're not hiding anything.
No.
There's just no one calling them out on it.
Well, as soon as you bring it up, you get criticized as the hater. That's how they've done it. But, I mean, what do you think about the word then, diversity? Because obviously in most people's mind, I guess, at least at this stage, that it has a positive association, as you said. Like, oh, it's so diverse here. It means there's hardly any white people around. But there's a changing of the definition the worse that gets, right? So it's kind of signal, and people know eventually that, oh, it's diversity, and then they know it has a negative connotation.
And
at the
of course,
end.
Diversity is always associated with white flight.
Exactly, that too.
And white flight has become scientific. It was just a term in America. Now in the UK, it's become science. In Sweden, in where you come from, Henrik, they have it down. I was reading. I believe you. I want to say you carried this on Red Ice. They have a scientific study. They know exactly how many immigrants, how many non-whites to add to any particular area, and they know the Swedes are going to start fleeing.
That's right. Yep.
So diversity is chasing down the last white person. That's what it's all about. And as there become awareness, and awareness is brought the same way it was. You have to really go back into this and undo what was been done. And what they typically do is they yell a word, racist. They yell a word, hate. They yell a word, and white people back down. They sit quietly, and they just take it. They're a broad signs that isn't happening anymore.
Yeah, it's not working.
That there's a key group rising, and they're basically fighting fire with fire. Because this is massive. If you're using words and symbols to shut people down under serious threat, you're dealing with some type of psychological warfare. And why I say serious threat is losing a job, losing a livelihood. One of our biggest activists up and coming is in France, interesting enough. And he said he's no longer really worried about losing a livelihood because he's a young fellow and he's unemployed. They can't get jobs there. So all of a sudden, let's spray paint anti-racism as a code word for anti-white on this big mural. Let's put out this stuff in France. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. I have nothing to lose now. We're in total war, But
yeah.
The war is mostly a psychological warfare as of right now.
That's right. Yeah. Wow, it's just amazing, there's more of these, aren't there? Of the quotes, I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to the EU, Peter Sutherland was the EU commissioner and head of the World Trade Organization, and what he said, and this is not long ago, I don't have the exact date, it's been definitely the last 6-7 years, he said, we still nurse a sense of our homogeneity. And difference from others. And that's precisely what the European Union, in my view, should be doing best to undermine. He's the EU commissioner head of the World Trade Organization. And so Peter Sutherland, and I think you mentioned he's from Ireland. I think that's accurate, but he's the head of state, basically. He's the head of state, and he's saying, we're too homogenous. And that's what we're looking to undermine. Well, if you look at the context of the Sarkozy quotes, the context of of what's going on with General Wesley Clark, head of NATO, who's the big military instrument trying to hold Europe together or putting guns to their heads. If you look at the context of what's going on coming out of Australia in the early 80s, which most people don't know about, well, yeah, they're going to nurse that and undermine it. And, you know, we're going to make sure there's no white kids left around.
And no one's saying anything. You know, it's amazing. And I know we might want to get into this right now. We're talking about how this particular angle takes shape in the world and how we can see it. But, I mean, my question is always, says who? Who's giving them these ideas? Are they just following the Kudenhove Kalergis or, you know, or, they're getting orders from somewhere.
Well, interesting, when it comes into America, we have an academic, you've had him on your show, and people, and listeners can look him up, is Dr. Kevin McDonald. And he's done an extensive study of who opened the borders of America, who said what, where, when, and how, who passed the laws, who was behind it, the Hart-Celler Act, and all that kind of stuff in 1965. And we know, of course, it was the Jewish elites and the different the Anti-Defamation Leagues and that particular apparatus behind that. When it comes to Europe, you know, I treat this like a criminal accusation. That's what we're making with white genocide. We're making a criminal accusation. And in any criminal accusation, the ideal is to stop the crime, and then we'll do an investigation. You know,
right. Yeah.
With that being said, there are some questions I have. Because in my country, America, most people don't know this because they hear, you know, diversity is our strength and America's a melting pot. The fact of the matter is, as late as 1965, America was as white and European, roughly 90% according to the census, as China is Han Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
China is 90% Han Chinese. America is 90% white and European. Even Japan is not 100% Japanese. No, they're like 90-some percent. So this idea that America wasn't ever a white country or is not a white country is, you know, they're basically trying to justify white genocide by saying whites don't exist.
Exactly.
And it is a consistent challenge with the facts. But, of course, people that are brainwashed, people that are in a demoralized state, as I say, facts mean nothing to them. But we know something. We know the Jewish elites. We know I did an animation people can look up called Anti-Racist Hitler. And it's very amusing, very, very terrifying.
Because very well done. You're
going to hear a lot of familiar language. And in that particular animation, we use a quote from a very famous activist in Europe. She's become famous in many pro-white circles and in many others, named Barbara Lerner Spektra. And she's Sweden. She's a Jewish lady. She's founder of PIDEA, the European Jewish Fund in Sweden, in your home country.
Yep.
And she said something interesting to say about what's going on behind all this stuff, multiculturalism. I think there is a resurgence of anti-Semitism. This is her exact words. Because at this point in time in Europe, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into multicultural mode, and the Jews will be resented because of our leading role. Now, if you want to see that in context, you can watch Anti-Racist Hitler, and I have it all in context with other quotes from other famous Barbara Lerner Spektors. And you can't make this stuff up. Now, she's not a head of state, but in the context of what you've heard thus far, there's obviously something going on. There's obviously a plan. The Abe Foxmans from the Anti-Defamation League, the Barbara Lerner Spektors are up into their necks in this stuff. You know, when you get into the giant anti-white activists, what they call themselves anti-racist. And, of course, the past century, we have one century of history now where anti-racism has only, you know, these organizations that fight racism are only existent in white countries, white communities.
Yeah.
Seriously. They're not out. You know, we can't name an anti-racist organization in the UK that chases non-whites around for racism. We can't name an anti-racist organization in France that chases non-whites around for racism. They're only harassing white kids. Basically, that's where the onus falls. And so that's why we're saying statements like anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. They're not anti-racist. They have no interest in, they don't care about xenophobia in Saudi Arabia or China or Japan. They're only camped out in white countries, white communities, harassing us. And, you know, this is the program. This is what it comes down to. So some of the factors behind white genocide are known. The fact that it exists, the quotes, the phenomenon that we can all observe. These are a matter of public record. The actual events, whether it be the open borders, which is totally out of control. Everyone's noticing it. What's going on with this? Well, it's part of a plan. It's not recent. It's pretty old.
It's mind control because they say also in the media, of course, that it doesn't exist. If you think this is happening, you're just, you know, you have a
you're
problem.
Dreaming. You're dreaming.
Yeah, it's not happening. And then you go out on the street and it's like, well, I see it happening. What the hell, you know?
And what they do is they turn around and they say, you know, white genocide doesn't exist. We just happen to always be arguing a position that always puts us in a world without new white people. You're not supposed to notice that.
Right.
White genocide doesn't exist, but, you know, there's not going to be any of you around 2050.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no such thing as white genocide. You're just not going to be around. You know, it's like, we're going to force breed you out of existence, but there's no such thing as white genocide.
Yeah.
You know? It's always this, you know, and then they start with the quote unquote, the white race. You know, they have no problem with knowing who's white when it comes to talking about white privilege.
No, despite that we don't
exist.
They have
no problem with knowing who's white when it comes down to who's to blame for all the problems on the world and
exactly.
racism. But the minute they start talking to someone like me, they come down with Alzheimer's. Well, who's white? And we don't have to define white.
Yeah.
We don't have to define. Wesley Clark's done that for us, hasn't he? He's not saying there's no room for ethnically pure states in Asia. He's not saying there's no room for ethnically pure states in somewhere like Saudi Arabia. He's not saying there's no room for ethnically pure states to whatever it means to the Mexicans or the Guatemalans or the Martians. He's saying this in Europe. To white people, bombing Serbs.
Yeah.
You know, in context of everything going on, obviously there's a plan, there's an agenda. You're not going to have this big of accidents. There's not accidents going off, separated by decades all over the Western world. And only, by the way, this is only happening in white countries. It didn't happen anywhere else. You know, there are challenges with open borders and mass movements of people around the world, but there's several African countries on any given day closed borders. Middle Eastern countries closed borders. No one says a word. You close a border in a white country and these crazy anti-white, especially the white liberal, they go nuts.
Yep.
They go insane. It's the anti-white proposition. There can be no all-white countries.
Yeah.
You know? You know, they're constantly falling back. Well, there's not going to be as much racism in 2050 because there's no white people. But well, that's what we're saying. That's the whole entire point.
Right, yeah.
We're not supposed to notice any of these contradictions. You know, some of the funniest conversations I've ever had the only one I've ever had, and this just happened to a colleague of mine who's written all the little memes like anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. Diversity means chasing down the last white person. And you'll see these stickers going up all over the place because this stuff is out of control now, being spray painted and everything else. And Bob Whitaker, Ryan Lenz from the Southern Poverty Law Center is an interesting character. I don't know a lot about him other than, you know, he does the same thing over and over again, expects no one to notice it. If you go and read, if you look up white genocide, Bob Whitaker, you're going to see all kinds of stuff coming out, regarding the Charleston church shooting.
Yeah, that kind of took the lead. It took over the attention and directed it in that area.
The point that no one's made out of this, and this is the point I made to, you know, anyone that read the article about maybe me, Ryan Lenz wrote an article about yours truly, not entirely flattering or adequate, but I don't expect accuracy from anti-whites, you know. But one of the funny things he did to Bob Whitaker as well is he starts off by basically making fun of these memes, making fun of diversity as a code word for white genocide, talking about all these, you know, there's supposed to be like a secret weapon against multiculturalism. He starts making fun of these particular memes. He told me that this stuff is totally ineffective, is what he told me. The only time I've ever talked to him, he said that he got a hold of me on the phone. And I, you know, he's talking about this stuff is totally ineffective. Then he turns around. And he accuses me of basically influencing Anders Breivik.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's what, if you read the article, that's what he's doing. And this is the same thing he did about Whitaker. He's making fun of the mantra. That's what he's called. He's making fun of these little memes. Then he turns around and he accuses Bob Whitaker of causing mass murder and mayhem a la Charleston. That's what he's doing.
Right.
Okay. But there's a problem here. If someone's causing international mass murder and mayhem, that would make their memes pretty damn effective.
That's right.
So which is it? Are we ineffective or are we pretty damn effective? Because if we're causing Breivik, if we're causing, which is all nonsense, Breivik never read my site. He just happened to go down the email, get an email list of giant growing sites. Okay, I got a big one. Website's growing, okay, so he does a mass emailing. He doesn't email me personally, and there's a big difference between emailing someone personally and emailing a website.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so anyways, when it comes to the Bob Whitaker, you know, Bob lives in South Carolina, this so-called white supremacist shooter lives in South Carolina, so therefore there's an immediate association. But there's a contradiction right as they're spelling it out. One end, this stuff is terribly ineffective, these white genocide memes. The other end, it's so effective, it's causing mass murder and mayhem. Which is it? Make up your mind. Yeah. They're constantly contradicting themselves. You whites don't exist, but you whites are to blame for everything. You know, if we don't exist, why do we need diversity?
That's right.
It's a constant bullshit.
Yep.
You constantly have to call them out on this. And it can't be done through elaborate, unfortunately, through elaborate debates or anything like that. It's done through memes over and over again, saturation, which is how they brought themselves to power. Just yell words, show symbols over and over again to shut people down. Classic psychological warfare type stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a contradiction here. And it continues to this day. And the only thing we do is expose it over and over again. What's interesting to me in regarding the Charleston church shooting are how much, even on mainstream news sources like Zero Hedge, I was watching the comments come through, how much no one believes anything they're getting. That's a significant fact. No one believes the quote-unquote standard narrative. Everyone believes the counter-narrative online.
Yeah.
That's a significant event.
And that's understandable. They're doing the right thing doing that because this has been a construct. If you look at the friend's testimony of Dylann Roof, you realize that the media has fabricated initially, in the first really 24 hours, they managed to build a narrative which completely contradicts the testimony from his friends. And it's very interesting how they did that.
Well, and you know, this comes into the zero. I watch ZeroHedge.com, for those listeners that don't know, is a giant financial news collator. They'll give you straight from the horse's mouth, from Reuters, Bloomberg's, AFP. And they don't discuss cultural events per se, but they do cover big events. What's interesting about Zero Hedge is that they don't really have a dog in any fights. I know there are some people that believe they're Russian intelligence. That could be interesting if that's true. What I'm saying is it's not Stormfront. It's not Alex Jones, InfoWars. We don't really know anything about them politically. They just report on these facts and let the comments come through. What I like about it is you got a top 2,000 website, top 1,000 website, based on Alexa, and I know Alexa has problems, but I'm just using that as a metric. It's a big site is what I'm saying.
Mm.
And they allow comments to come through, and there's no censoring. The problem with Huffington Post and all the Daily Mails and the MSNBC, you get constant censoring of comments. But Zero Hedge does not censor comments, I don't believe, unless you do something crazy over the top. But all these comments were coming through under the shooter's post, and anyone listening can go back and look. And the first post coming through were people saying the patches look Photoshopped. They were talking about the young man's patches on his jacket, the patches of, what was it, South African apartheid patch?
Yeah, Rhodesia.
And Rhodesia. They're talking about the patches look Photoshopped. Now, this is Zero Hedge commenters. This isn't Godlike Productions, the conspiracy-related giant forum. This isn't there. This is Zero Hedge. This is a mainstream website, and they're allowing comments to come through. And then they're talking about, well, you know, I don't really believe all this. You know, they don't believe the standard narrative at all. They're already questioning it. These aren't conspiracy websites. You know, after the president holds his big press conference, you're like, wait a minute, how come the president doesn't hold his press conferences every time there's horrific black-on-white crime?
Right.
You know, and then they start quoting statistics, which really, really surprised me. So we got two things. We got the standard narrative being questioned with classic conspiracy narrative. They're talking about, obviously it would have to be, you know, something going on right at the top. You start talking, you have to believe in a giant conspiracy to believe that those patches were Photoshopped, or the potential for there to be a pretty large conspiracy, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so at the same time, they're talking about classic black on white crime stats. And for those that don't know, you know, they're giving there's 5,000 violent interracial crimes, 83% are committed by black against whites. That's a rough statistic, Department of Justice or FBI that they all give. But this stuff is inundated out there. And I thought that was the most interesting point. The counter narrative is prevailed online, even among mainstream commenters. Anyone that gets online is having trouble. A great many are having trouble with the official narrative.
Yeah, and they should. Most people are suspicious of politicians these days. I mean, they know that they're liars. They know they make things up and they just run. They're opportunists and populists and everything else. But that's just because of the way that they're using all these events too, though, and the way that they're lying about the real world. So this is kind of the, I think, this is a natural response whenever they either manufacture an event like this or if it's real, and then depending on how they're seeking to use it for their own selfish political gain, you know, and that's where it's going to develop. So this is where it's going, in my view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are basically not paying attention to anything other than their own agenda and going forward with that own agenda. And they're going forward at breakneck speed.
Too fast, I think.
Way too fast. It was like someone has a gun to their head or a whip to their back. This stuff isn't working. If the comments coming in from Zero Hedge, and I'm going to assume they haven't wiped any of them out, go look at them. They are looking like something out of Godlike Productions. It's a cross between the classic conspiracy comments that you would expect to get on certain sites where they don't believe the official narrative, everything's a conspiracy. Obviously, everything's not a conspiracy. But in a conspiracy in American legal sense is simply two or more people. So, you know, you've got it looking like that, or they're talking about the double standard. Well, wait a minute, here's some horrific crimes in the past couple of days. How come the president's not giving a press conference over that? White kids getting their skulls bashed in by, you know, someone yelling, kill the honky kid, and, you know, the classic stuff.
Yep.
You've got problems. You've got problems. If you can't control the message, you can't control society. And putting people on TV, making everything look good is one thing, but things are terribly out of control for them. Terribly out of control.
Yeah, it is.
They're facing a revolt, and you know, I did a interview with Lana Lochteff, your counterpart over there, and about the managerial class. And once you lose the influential people in any particular group, you've lost that particular society. You can do nothing but get on a bended knee and come back to them. And that's the challenge right now, how they're going to do this, how they're going to go about this, or, you know, that particular exactly what they're preparing to do, because they're obviously trying something very large.
Yeah, and this is, I think, counterproductive to their goals at the end of it, because the quicker they push and the more they push, people wake up to it. Look at this thing with the rebel flag, right? They're trying to do in all these states, and it's going at breakneck speed. It's going too fast, and I think people will wake up to that and realize, well, wait a minute, what's the and how is it? I mean, sure, it's a large event per se. That it's a tragedy. But people have been murdered in this church. I don't think it was fake. In that regard, I think it happened. But look at the immense restructuring and transformation of all of American society because of, you know, one potentially, you know, drug-crazed kid and you know, a couple of clips of bullets, you know. And look at this restructuring. I mean, on a violence level.
An attempt at restructuring, because the Confederate flag's all over the place online now. They just sold I don't know how many.
Exactly. You know, tremendous amounts
right
now.
This is the problem. What bothers me, and this goes back into our previous interview, Henrik, what bothers me is that a lot of people tend to segment themselves, and they just look how fast they're going in this particular area. What's always bothered me in meme production is they generally come back to the meme, let things die down, come back to it, let things die down. They don't go fast. They do things over periods of years. I just gave you quotes from elites separated by decades. The closer they get to us, the more violent they become, the more aggressive, the more, you know, force. We're going to use force.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about Sweden removing old people from their homes to make rooms for immigrants, that's pretty aggressive.
That's very aggressive, and people are waking up to that.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, when you're walking down the street and you see that sticker, diversity is a code word for white genocide, and then you got your neighbors getting removed from their house because they're white. Well, you know, you put two and two together, something's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and this is so tragic, you kind of just got to laugh at how crazy, but they cannot be comfortable going this fast, and they're going this fast in everything across the board. It isn't just this stuff, but this is one big piece of the pie, the social engineering, what we call white genocide, the white genocide model that's descended on the West post-World War II, but they're going across the board at a breakneck speed down all these different roads. And it becomes fascinating world to speculate on what's coming next.
Right, yeah. We have much more to discuss about gun control and everything else, but sure. Give us the details about your website here again so people know where to go to find your work, Tim.
Website is whiterabbitradio.net, and you can find us on Twitter at Eurorabbit.
All right, very good. We'll have those links up. Stay with us, folks. Stay with us, Tim. We'll be right back with more. We'll be right back.
nothing like an old guitar. Bitchin' you love me. I got a dirty black summer. Yeah, my dirty black summer.
Continue in the second hour after a short break here. We have much more to discuss with Tim Murdoch. We are going to talk more about the situation in Europe, specifically with the Mediterranean invasion crisis, but also the situation in Greece and how some of the European countries individually are reacting to what is happening right now. RedIceMembers.com is the website where you can go to sign up for a membership and get access to over 1,000 programs on all the things you are not supposed to know about. Well, next up we have a Radio 314, and then on Friday we have Roger Devlin on his book Sexual Utopia in Power. But we'll continue right after the break. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the other side.